Welcome to the Inside Indiana podcast. I'm Alex McCarthy. This is Jordan Guskey for the last time.
For the last time.
Because Jordan is leaving for England in a couple days.
I am.
First of all, explain a little bit about that.
I mean, IU has a pretty good journalism program here, so this summer I'm going to be interning over at a nonprofit in London, so that's going to be pretty cool. Taking a class, yeah. That's going to be the not fun part, but, you know, seeing the sights, going around Europe, it's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, spending a summer abroad is, you know, it's going to be...
Always a good time.
A condensed program and kind of hard work, but it's like, whatever.
I'm enjoying
it. Yeah. and also, as a couple people pointed out on the podcast, it's my birthday, so a big day. This is a big day for us here at Inside Indiana. It's only my birthday for a few more hours, but we're going to be reflecting a little bit on Jordan's year on the beat, because the year is kind of over in general, and, you know, with the NFL draft, that kind of... Was the end to a lot of this. We've already gotten a couple questions on the podcast or on the Periscope. We'll get to those. If you have more questions, you know, bring them in and we'll get to them. But first of all, I wanted to talk. We got a question on the podcast from Run Jeff Run about Indiana football holding on to recruits and how difficult that's kind of been. It's something I wrote about for the magazine, actually, that there were a couple of... there are a couple of fairly highly ranked guys who committed to IU early on. Josh Johnson, who's a receiver out of Arkansas, and Lynn Bowden, who's a running back out of Warren, Ohio. And this past weekend, Lynn Bowden, decommitted from IU. He reopened his commitment. Maybe he's still considering IU, who knows, but it was right after he took an official or unofficial visit to Michigan State, so... You know, kind of putting two and two together there. He might be kind of looking at Sparty up there, and obviously he wants to, he probably has an affinity for Ohio State, being from Ohio, so he's considering his options. But it's always going to be hard for IU to hold on to these kind of four-star guys, especially when they commit early, because, and this is why Kevin Wilson and his staff don't really like taking early commitments like this, because... They know that things change, they know that kids' priorities change, that they get offers that they didn't think they were going to get, everything like that. So, you know, it's not, I wouldn't say I necessarily expected Johnson and Bowden to decommit at some point, but it's not really that surprising, just because, I don't know, kids who commit this early kids who commit to Michigan this early, or Alabama, or like wherever this early, sometimes, you know, break their commitments off and head elsewhere and explore other options. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily a sign of concern. A friend of mine texted me as soon as Bowden decommitted, and he said, you know, wasn't the Wilson extension supposed to help recruiting? And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's supposed to help, but it's a long process. I mean, when you get a commitment from a guy in February and you have to wait until the next February to officially sign him, that's a long battle to fight, and it's one that, quite frankly, Indiana is not going to usually win when they go up against Michigan State, when they go up against Ohio State. So it's just kind of a consequence of the whole system, the whole way everything works. I've talked to a few IU coaches who have, some of them who've come here from other places, and they say that kids in the Midwest just for some reason really, really like to commit early. And it's not something the coaches usually advise, but it's something, I don't know, kids from Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, wherever, for some reason just really like to commit. They really like to, you know, jump on board somewhere when it's really maybe not the best fit for them. So, I don't know, it happens. It's how the system kind of works. But there are plenty of people Indiana's focused on. There's, especially in-state, actually, there are a couple guys who are kind of down the line who are going to be really... probably going to be really good. One of them, Hugh Davis, you've talked to them a little bit. There are a few guys at Indianapolis Cathedral who are going to be really good in a couple years. There's Marquis Stepp, who's a running back, Davis, who's a linebacker, and then Emil Akior, who is a offensive lineman. So Indiana's still in it for a lot of guys. It's just, you know, it's a long, very long process. So I wouldn't be overly worried yet about IU losing recruits. It's just... I don't know.
Just the process.
Yeah. Just something that happens. But I don't know. We've had a lot to a lot has happened this past year that we've covered.
It's been a lot to cover.
To just kind of start reflecting on the year, and for any of you on the Periscope who want to chime in with some of your thoughts, we're going to be talking about who we think was the best IU coach of the year, who we think was the best IU athlete, best IU team, just kind of reflecting on what we saw this year. But first of all, just this was your first year on the beat.
It was.
This was your first IU beat in general, right?
Correct.
Because you were picking
around
up assignments for the IDS last year. Just in general, looking back on it, now that 1 year in the books for you, what were some of the takeaways?
I think, you know, IU's an athletic program that's just building for the future. You know, you had a football team that had one of its best seasons in recent memory and is set up for better seasons to come as long as the recruiting pans out.
Yeah.
And you had a basketball team that, you know, met expectations but somehow exceeded expectations while still meeting expectations. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting few months to see with the combine where Yogi and Troy and James and all those guys fall. Although James should be back, so
he might not even really be able to work out. Yeah,
true. But it was a pretty interesting year. Had some fun times. That Michigan IU double overtime game was probably one of the more exciting games to cover. You know, IU basketball had some fun ones down the road too. And you know, writing some of those features for the magazine. You know, softball, field hockey, soccer, all that stuff. It was a fun time.
Yeah, absolutely. And that it's no, this podcast is not the place to talk politics. As somebody comments on the Periscope. Got a question. Will IU baseball have a shot at the tourney, or do they need to win the Big Ten? Absolutely need to win the Big Ten. They need to win probably the Big Ten tournament to be able to qualify, because their non-conference results were
abysmal.
Yeah, were just not very good. Their RPI is terrible. They swept Northwestern this past weekend, but playing Northwestern in general actually hurt IU's RPI because Northwestern is so bad. So it doesn't help that the Big Ten is pretty down. I mean, Northwestern,
That's true.
2-16 in Big Ten play. It was just funny talking in the press box of, like, anything IU does here hurts them. It's just a matter of of the severity of the hurt there. So, yeah, IU's going to need to really finish strong and be able to, I mean, they have a chance against Louisville and Kentucky to improve their RPI with a couple big wins, but I don't know. I don't really see them winning either of those games. So, yeah, they're going to have to pretty much win the Big Ten tournament to qualify for the NCAA, which is not necessarily unexpected. I mean, this is going to be a little bit of a rebuilding year. Mm-hmm. They don't have the bats, really. Their rotation is fantastic. They might have the Big Ten pitcher of the year in Kyle Hart and, you know, Evan Bell and Caleb Berriger. And, you know, you've written about them a little bit.
Right.
They've been excellent, but
not their year.
Yeah, just, you know, when you only give up 2 runs in a game, you have to, you know, score 3 runs, and Indiana just hasn't really been able to.
Some pretty good math.
Score it on.
That's off your head.
That's what you get from all these years on the beat, Jordan. You'll get there one day. I don't expect you to understand.
I have calculators. It's fine.
That's true. But yeah, going back to just kind of looking at the past year, so does that Michigan double overtime game kind of stand out to you?
That's
the best game? Because there have been a lot of really, really good games this year.
Yeah, I think so. You know, the Ohio State game is one that I'm sure a lot of people would point to. But there's something about Michigan, you know, after already proving yourself against Ohio State and then still taking Michigan to the wire, and Harbaugh and his, you know, big, you know, media year that he was having.
Right.
I think that was pretty big. And it was an interesting one to write for, changing my lead every couple minutes as the game went up and down on the roller coaster of emotion. So, yeah, for me, that was probably the one I look back to most over the course of the year, probably one of the more exciting ones to cover.
Yeah, and you, before the game, said it was going to go into triple overtime.
I did.
So we were that close to that coming true.
That definitely would have been an interesting game.
That would have been. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you mentioned the Ohio State game. I thought the Pinstripe Bowl was awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, just like back and forth, all over the place, chaotic. Comes down to, you know, Indiana's Big Ten kicker of the year missing 2 field goals at the end. I mean, it was pretty bananas. And it was at Yankee Stadium, which was really kind of crazy. That was when we did our, you know, games of the year, moments of the year and everything. You put the Pinstripe Bowl ending as your moment of the year. Mm-hmm. So
I had a few more months to look over.
That's true. But it was it was crazy. And it's obviously unfortunate for Indiana fans that, you know, the best games all were IU losses in terms of football.
True.
But oh well. I think the IU Kentucky tournament game, NCAA tournament game, was right up there, because it wasn't, didn't necessarily come down to like a last shot or anything like that, but it was intense. It was two really good teams, two teams that were kind of peaking at the moment, facing each other. I had really good seats for that game, so that helped a lot. But it was, I don't know, that was a lot of fun to cover. The Sweet 16 game, not so much. That was nice.
I mean, it was still fun.
It was,
we were pretty high up there.
Yeah, we were in the hockey press box.
Thinking about throwing popcorn down on people. Yeah, I'm still regretting not doing that.
That's true. But it was, it was not as competitive maybe as a lot of the other games. Did you vote today,
John? I actually voted a few weeks ago for the Ohio primary. Yeah, I did some absentee balloting.
Nice, good for you.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Exercising your right. But someone also asked on the Periscope, do we think Darius Latham regrets his decision to declare for the NFL draft?
No.
Yeah, probably. What are your thoughts there?
I don't think so. I'm not sure if there was any more high of a ceiling that he could have gotten to at IU with an extra year. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about guys like Troy Williams maybe needing an extra year to get that little bump. But I think Latham got as far as he was going to in Bloomington. And I think his chance with the Raiders is going to be one where he could definitely take advantage of and be on the roster come this fall. So I think he got as much as he probably was going to.
Yeah, and I think the thing that kept him from being drafted probably was not necessarily just the OWI that he got, but there were just some off the field concerns with Latham. Mm-hmm. He was suspended last year, had some issues with, I think, the Board of Ethics, which is like super vague. It could be anything that he, any kind of university policy that he violated. But in terms of on the field, He's obviously a very talented guy. It's just a matter of keeping him focused and making sure he stays out of trouble, which I don't know how possible that's going to be in Oakland, but we'll see. Maybe I think it might help him to kind of just hit the reset button.
Yeah, there were a lot of guys drafted with quote-unquote off-the-field issues in this draft. I think Tyler Higbee, who we saw play at IU is still going to court, I believe.
Yeah.
So I think the off-field issues weren't as big of an issue with Latham not getting drafted as we might have thought going into the draft. But yeah, as you said, he's reached where he's going to.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I don't know, hopefully I'm going to be talking to him in the next couple of days. I've been talking with his agent quite a bit and trying to set something up. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to that, because we haven't gotten to talk to Latham at all since he declared.
Very long time.
Yeah, yeah, we didn't really get to talk to him at all last year either, because he didn't want to talk to the media. So I'm excited to hopefully get that opportunity. We'll see what happens. But speaking of the NFL draft, obviously that happened this past weekend. Jason Spriggs, second round of the Packers.
There you go.
Jordan Howard to the Bears in the 5th round, and then Nate Sudfeld in the 6th round to the Washington Redskins. First of all, we talked a little bit about that on past podcasts, but do you think those are all appropriate kind of, round pick overall things?
I think for Spriggs and Sudfeld, I'd say yes. I think those make sense. I think the teams match up well, too, with what their needs are. I thought Jordan Howard was going to go a lot earlier than the 5th round. I don't think he was going to be the 1st or 8th overall pick like we saw in that one mock draft. But I think 3rd round, maybe 4th round late would be where I would have seen him going, but he's going to a team that's had some great history with running backs in the past. So, Matt Forte is definitely someone he can try to emulate when he's there. I think he definitely has a chance to compete for a starting job as we've seen. So I think that's going to be pretty big for him. I thought Cooper was going to get drafted towards the end there, but he's still going undrafted to the Redskins. So I think it all works out.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are a lot of former Indiana players who were able to get pro chances, as undrafted free agents and getting tryouts with teams. Just to run through some of them, Jake Reed, center for IU, is going to Atlanta. Michael Cooper, like you mentioned, is going to be with Sudfeld in Washington. Zach Shaw is getting a tryout with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Not sure what the situation was with him and the Steelers. The IU football account tweeted that he was getting a contract of some sort with the Steelers, but I guess that didn't happen. And then a couple guys who transferred away from IU that you might remember. Trey Roberson got a chance with the San Diego Chargers, which is kind of cool. He is not playing quarterback at the next level, but he's going to try out as like a defensive back, wide receiver, just something, because he's obviously super athletic.
Right.
He was a first-team All-Missouri Conference quarterback, which is, I guess, fairly impressive, because Carson Wentz, who was second overall, was actually just an honorable mention quarterback in the Missouri Valley Conference, so kind of weird. And then Michael Hunter, who transferred, a cornerback from IU, who transferred to Oklahoma State for his last year of eligibility. He got picked up by the New York Giants after the draft. So, guys, you know, former IU players getting chances all over the place. So, yeah, you'll be able to watch them at the next level this upcoming year.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back a little bit to some individual guys that we covered this past year, was there one player or a couple players who really stood out over this past year, not just necessarily in the big sports, but mm-hmm. in anything that you covered?
I think, you know, still hitting that big sport mm-hmm. idea pretty quick is, you know, Max Bielefeld was, you know, huge, you know, coming in, maybe seen as more of just kind of a leader, maybe from the bench, but he definitely evolved into someone who was a mainstay on the court, and I think mm-hmm. that was pretty huge. And you see Michigan starting to lose some of these grad transfers to some other Big Ten schools. Yeah. Spike's going to Purdue. That was announced, I believe, today. So I think that's pretty huge. And then, you know, looking, you know, off the court to some of the smaller sports, even, you know, baseball. You mentioned Kyle Hart and Caleb Berger. Some of these pitchers that needed to step up coming into this year for IU to have a chance in baseball, they really have, even more so than I think a lot mm-hmm. of people expected. And while it may be a little bit harder for them to get to the NCAA tournament this year, I think having that pitching staff right there ready to go, I think it's been huge.
Yeah. There have certainly been some outstanding performances. Nate Sudfeld had a really good year. I know it's cliche to go with, you know, to talk about just like the starting quarterback for the team, but I mean, he set like every record that Indiana has mm-hmm. As a quarterback.
He did all right.
Yeah, he did. He did pretty well. He struggled a little bit with injury stuff as he has in the past couple years, but was able to get healthy and just put up ridiculous numbers, which. Yeah, we've seen under Kevin Wilson, Indiana has set like all of its offensive records, and they've led the Big Ten in passing in all but 1 year of his tenure here, and all but 2 years, I guess. But it's just been pretty impressive to watch some of the performances they've had at quarterback. You know, Trey Roberson, obviously a couple years ago, but Nate Sudfeld, kind of the whole time when he and Roberson were going back. We're going back and forth and kind of splitting the duties at quarterback. You could always kind of tell that Sudfeld was
the guy.
Yeah, he was the one that they wanted as quarterback, and because he has the build, he has the arm, he has the kind of the mind for it. As Robbie Howard says on the Periscope, Cam Coffin for life, the junior college transfer who ended up leading the Big Ten in passing. Technically, he said Can Kaufman, but. I understand what you're saying, Robbie.
Robbie can't spell it.
I know. Robbie's having some issues with words here today. But Sudfeld had a great year. Jordan Howard obviously had a huge mm-hmm. year in his only year, I guess, mm-hmm. at Indiana. Also had a lot of injury issues. But you actually wrote about Jessica Parado.
I did.
Swimming and diving. Tell us a little bit about her.
I think, you know, it goes to show that some of these sports aren't getting a lot of the national, you know, acclaim that mm-hmm. they maybe deserve. This is a really big year for IU swimming and diving. They performed very well in the Big Ten and NCAA stages, you know, towards the end of the year, though. And, you know, Jessica and her mate Amy there both did very well and are going to be representing the United States and in some national competitions. I think that's huge, and it's something that IU can really hang out its hat on as a athletic program in general, that I wouldn't probably doubt seeing Jessica or Amy up there representing IU at some of these different benefits that we've seen people like Shane Wynn talk at this past year. I think you could definitely see them in the future.
Yeah, and with Amy Kozad, who's a diver, she's been around forever. When I first got here 6 years ago, my first beat at the IDS was swimming and diving, and she was here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she's been around forever. She's mm-hmm. going to be getting her, like you said, her chance to compete at an international level, and it's going to be interesting to watch them. Mm-hmm. Ray Luz, who is the swimming and diving coach. Thanks, Robbie. I am old. A year older today than I was yesterday. I don't think so that works. I mean, kind of. I don't know. Slightly.
Your math was okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But Ray Luz won, I think, both men's and women's coach of the year, swimming coach of the year. And he was not alone in terms of IU coaches winning awards.
Mm-hmm.
Both Tom Crean and Terry Morin won Big Ten Coach of the Year. Two very different coaching jobs, I think, because obviously Tom Crean had a preseason top 15 team and ended up kind of meeting those expectations. Terry Moran came in and had what was supposed to be kind of the second year of a rebuilding project, mm-hmm. and ended up tying the program record in wins, making the first NCAA tournament in decades for the women's basketball team. Mm-hmm. So two very different, you know, coaching performances from the two of them. I guess what are your thoughts on just comparing those two? Because mm-hmm. obviously they both deserve recognition probably. And even though on here we kept saying that we thought Greg Gard should win Big Ten Coach of the Year.
True.
But just comparing those two coaching jobs, what did you see out of, because you were able to cover both of them.
Right, yeah, I think it showed that they both overcame a lot of adversity with Coach Moore, and it was more of, you know, that second year, a lot of people transferred away. Mm-hmm. She's relying on basically two sophomores in Amanda Cahill and the guard and Tyra Buss to try to lead that team, and Tyra and Amanda both really stepped up to do that. And I think that, you know, gets that over the hump in my eyes, you know, who did really the better job. I think Coach Moore probably gets it there just because it's what she had to rely on for the women's mm-hmm. team. But, you know, Coach Crean definitely had to overcome his own set of stuff, you know, the off-field issues that, or off-the-court issues that IU had to deal with in the offseason. But, Crean still had a lot of the same weapons there. It's not like he lost Yogi and Troy and James Blackman Jr., although he did end up losing James midway through the year. So I think, you know, with the injuries and off-the-court issue, definitely Crean had to overcome a lot, but I think Moore and had the little edge there.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it was just kind of a hodgepodge. They didn't really have a dominant post presence. I mean, Jenna mm-hmm. Anderson did as well as she could. Right. Actually played really well down the stretch, but mm-hmm. They just, and like you said, they're all young. They only all of the women's players. They only lose one graduating senior. They're going to lose one transfer, at least. I don't know if anyone else is going to transfer, but I mean they're going to restock. They have a transfer who sat out this season, Tia Albert, who's going to mm-hmm. be one of the big options at.
Guard, yeah.
At point guard, yeah, which would allow Tyra Buss to kind of play off the ball a little bit more, mm-hmm. which would be kind of interesting. So we'll see moving forward with that. But we got a couple questions on the Periscope about football, just kind of in general, I guess, what the football program looks like moving forward. The big question is at quarterback going into the fall. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that on like every podcast this spring.
Yeah. It's a pretty hot topic.
It is. But, I mean, they return a lot. They returned their whole secondary, which was one of the nation's worst last year. But it was because they were all really young and inexperienced and everything like that. So it's, yeah, I mean, the big questions are going to be the defensive line, quarterback. Those are really the big things that I'm going to be watching. So, I don't know. I mean, do you think this, I don't know. It's hard to know without knowing who the quarterback is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's gonna be a big one. I think, you know, if Lego can really step up and be the quarterback that everyone's expecting him to be, then I think IU's gonna keep chugging along with how it is. But if he maybe has a down year, I think he's still, you know, there's gonna be some work in the off season to see who's really gonna get that edge. But I think we've all kind of thought it's Lego's job to lose.
Yeah.
Even with Xander coming in, they even talked about last kind of even this past winter about Xander taking some time at the slot, especially when they were preparing for Duke. But I think it's Lego's job to lose, and if he has the year, then I think IU can keep going along, maybe even compete for some Big Ten titles, even though that might be a little bit of a stretch. But
a bit,
I think that I think, you know, the offensive line's still gonna be there, still gonna have a great mm-hmm. running attack. But, you know, this might be a little bit of a down year. They might take a little step back just record wise, maybe with Lego and the defensive line getting up to par, but you could see this team in a year or two being one of the best in the Big Ten, in my opinion.
Wow, that's a bold statement. I could see them winning like seven games in the next couple years or something like that.
First.
That's true. We can track it all the way back to the Jordan Year podcast here. I mean, it's kind of the same thing looking at Sudfeld, where like you just look at Lego and you see him make a couple throws and you're just like, that's a quarterback right there. That's a D1 high level mm-hmm. quarterback. It's just a matter of getting the playbook down, getting up to speed. In terms of just kind of keeping up with everything. But if he does that, if he really kind of buckles down this summer and is able to stay focused, I think Lego has a little bit of a leg up.
We were so close.
On the quarterback
job. I don't think we made that joke yet this year. We were so close.
Not going to let...
like, literally, not too much time left on this one. You
I know. Throw it in there. Yeah, snuck it in there. But Yeah, I think it's him, and then Diamant is also obviously going to be competing for it. He's the more experienced guy. He's started like 7 games, all Big Ten games in his 2 years. So
just won one though.
That's true. That's true. But he's won one more Big Ten game than Richard Lego has ever won. Mm-hmm. So
and one more than we've ever won.
And one more combined than we've ever, or will ever win. Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. So yeah, moving forward, it's there are certainly reasons to be optimistic about it. About the football program, mm-hmm. But also a lot of question marks. It's kind of, I don't know, that's kind of how IU football always is, where there are good things, and then there are things that can just totally tank a season. So sure. We'll see what happens. They have apparently trusted Kevin Wilson enough to give him an extension. So, I think he and his staff feel a little bit more secure in recruiting and coaching and everything like that. Other than that, I mean, looking forward to the next season for Indiana basketball. Wow, we're already to almost half an hour on the podcast. So, a few final thoughts, I guess. Just on Indiana basketball. Still a few question marks in terms of personnel. Mm-hmm. You know, are they going to maybe add someone else for 2016? Is Troy going to go? How is Freddie McSwain going to fit in? Everything like that. I guess what is, for you looking at this team for next year, what's the biggest question, or what are a couple of the biggest focuses or things that you're going to be watching when they start playing next year?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the bigger things for me is seeing if Thomas Bryant makes that freshman to sophomore year jump that everyone's expecting him to make, because mm-hmm. he made such a push at the end of the year, especially in Big Ten play, to become that post player that everyone was expecting him to be at the beginning of the season. He had a little struggle getting there. So if he makes that jump, then I think it's going to be huge for IU. But a big thing is that they're not going to have Max Bielefeld next semester, or next fall, really. Thinking of it
the
in
entire
academic,
year.
Thinking of it in academic terms right now. I just finished my finals. But, you know, not having Max there, you know, Juwan Morgan and OG Ananobi, those are going to be guys who also you're going to look to make that freshman sophomore year jump. But having Bielefeld in there was huge to have that, you know, that senior year guy, someone who had been in the Big Ten play before for a few years. I think that's huge, and not having him there, it's going to be a real test to see if these freshmen, going to be sophomores, can be able to hold it on their own. And then, you know, I don't think the Troy-Freddie switch, if that happens, if Troy ends up leaving, mm-hmm. like we, I guess, expect him to at this point. You know, I think that's going to be as big of a deal. They're still going to have some great guards in there, Robert Johnson and James Blackman Jr. So I think that's not going to be as big as an issue, but, you know, looking to see if that interior stays as strong as everyone's expecting to be is probably going to be the biggest thing on my watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Thomas Bryant is going to be kind of the focal point of the team next year. I think James Blackman will probably lead him in scoring, but Bryant will be the
next guy.
I mean, he's going to be the most important player. But the two that I'm really intrigued about are OG Ananobi. You mentioned the freshman to sophomore jump, and he's another guy who just, like, kind of came out of nowhere during Big Ten play, and then really at the end of the season played really, really well in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. Well, and the only Big Ten tournament game that they played, he played really well.
True.
And then Josh Newkirk, I'm intrigued to see where he fits, because he's sat out this year, and is, you know, when IU was wooing him last year, they kind of pitched that that he would be the replacement for Yogi Ferrell, and I don't know exactly if I see that. Maybe he's kind of, you know, been taken under Ferrell's wing and kind of been shown the ropes at point guard, but I think Rob Johnson is still probably the main guy, or at least the guy mm-hmm. that we'll start off with. But I'm intrigued to see what Josh Newkirk can do, because we haven't seen him play at all. I mean, he's been, you know, hurt when he got here, and then obviously couldn't play all season or do anything. So I'm very, very intrigued to see what Josh Newkirk can do. We got an interesting question on the Periscope from Robbie Howard. Who would win one-on-one, OG Ananobi versus James Blackman? You said OG.
I did say OG.
Why?
I just think defensively he's got to step up on JBJ. I think, you know, in a team setting, there's a reason why James gets the points he does, because he's a great shooter. But if you put him one-on-one against OG, I think OG may be one of, if not one of the best perimeter defenders that IU has. I think that'd probably be tough for him to go against.
Yeah, and Blackman is not, doesn't have the defensive prowess that Ananobi has, to say the least, probably.
Right.
And Ananobi kind of showed that he can do everything. I mean, he was hitting threes, he was driving, he was, I don't know, he just did a little bit of everything. So, yeah, I think I agree with you that Ananobi is, we're on the same page.
Finally accepts me. It's been a year. I got there.
Yeah, welcome, welcome. As soon as you're about to leave. Ananobi is a guy who, if he stays after his sophomore year, which I don't know at this point, I think he might not, but if he does for his junior year, he'll absolutely be a Big Ten Player of the Year candidate. He'll probably be the focal point of the team in 2 years if he's still there, and assuming that Thomas Bryant goes pro after his sophomore year, which, barring injury or just a total disastrous season, I imagine Thomas Bryant is going to get out of here after this year, or after this coming year. But other than that, I mean, I think that's basically all we've got. We kind of went all over the place. We just hit a little bit of everything.
It's been a big year in our athletics.
It has been. They're not quite done. Obviously, baseball's still going, and then Troy Williams is going to the NBA Combine, which starts a week from tomorrow, May 11th, it starts. And then he has until May 25th to decide whether or not he wants to return to IU or hire an agent. So that's going to be interesting. Obviously, a lot of recruiting stuff going on, so that's why you got to head to the site. We've got a ton of coverage up. I guess I'll be carrying the load from here on out with Jordan on the other side of the pond. So
thank you, Twitter.
Yes. So we'll see what happens. But thanks for listening all year. Thanks for reading all year. Thanks for following Jordan. How much did your follower count increase?
I think it increased a lot. You know, I don't really have numbers. I think I leave math to you, but okay. You know, it definitely saw a bump.
Yeah, yeah. So Jordan will also, I guess, we're allowed to say this, right?
I think so.
What are you going to be doing in the fall?
I'm going to be the sports editor for the IDS.
Yeah, so
stay tuned.
Yeah, so read Inside Indiana and the IDS.
I'm going to be like Brody, just walking in during podcast.
Yeah, God.
I don't think I'm going to use your crock pot.
I know, we needed to lock the door, but
it's still locked.
Whatever. Yeah, I know. Anyway.
Alex's door is unlocked.
Yes.
Come say hi.
Jeez. Anyway, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading on iTunes. If you want to subscribe, please do. You know, rate us, comment on us. We'll be still doing podcasts throughout the summer, maybe not on a weekly level, but we'll still be doing them. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be a fun off season. But until then, thanks for listening. Enjoy your summer, and we will talk to you soon.